here. All right. Let me know when you're ready there, Mark.
It's on.
All right, we're here with the auditor as we go through auditors, board of supervisors, and countywide this morning, and joined, as always, by Auditor Lucy Martin. Hi, Lucy.
Good morning.
Anything for us to start off with before we jump in?
Just I would like to thank my staff again, and also facilities, IT, and everybody else in this building for a successful general election. And that was...
Well, we owe you the thanks, right?
A lot of traffic in this building, but I think...
Well, more voters than Story County has ever seen, over 50,000 for the first time.
Right.
You and your staff did a phenomenal job. My nightmare scenario is that we're going to wake up one day, and was it Broward County in Florida or whatever, that we're going to wake up one day and we're going to be that. And it gives me great comfort to know that you guys are running the show, that we're not ever going to end up there.
Yes, the goal is always no headlines.
Exactly. Well, great job and congratulations to you and your staff. I know you guys put in a lot of hours to get it all done. So we'll jump right to revenues. Anything you want to highlight as far as the revenues? Clearly, this is a local election year, and so it changes the way our revenues
work. Right, and so just for the new members of the board, our budget looks like this because of the election schedule. We do have the primary election in FY18. You won't see that on the revenue side. The school and city elections, we bill out everything that's allowable to bill out for those elections. And so I think the revenues and the expenses are commensurate in the budget there. And that's just our best guess based on previous elections and just what we know what is happening. Ames will have an open mayoral race. They might have a pool issue on the ballot. But anything, if we do see things like satellite voting or an increase in absentee balloting, that is billed out to the city. So.
Yep. And I would expect that, especially in Ames, we're going to see larger than normal turnout for a local election. So, important to note that the revenue line items that we have here for the local elections, as Lucy just stated, are generally tied to an expense item that we're seeing flow through the budget.
Right, and we do bill out everything that's allowable. I mean, I can't bill out just my staff time for that, but anything associated with, you know, cost of ballots, cost of election workers, cost of forms, extra help we can't bill out. We almost never hire extra help for this type of election, only for a general election. Tax we do, yes. Tax are for every election.
Right.
When I think of extra help, I think of those people at the computers that you see in our back room entering voter registration forms. So, and then the special elections, this is what we always do. Special elections, we always have some. Almost always they are those entities, schools and cities that we bill out. If we would have a statewide or federal election because of a death or other type of vacancy, then the county would bear those costs. If we had a countywide election, that would also be county costs. So usually we just balance the expenses and revenues in that, and it's really anybody's guess. Sometimes we have five or six special elections in a year. Sometimes we have none. So.
Good. Any questions on the revenue side? All right, to the expenses. We'll start with the election side of the expenses, and unless anybody wants to talk about the items, what I consider above the line, we won't. Oh, my goodness. We got a guest today. That's outstanding.
Oh, my God. Hi, Wayne. How are you?
Good morning.
Good morning. I love it.
You're well.
Anybody want to talk about anything on the employee side, on the elections administration? Okay, so that gives us two office supplies.
Okay.
So I want to talk about office supplies as it relates to the office supplies on the real estate side, right? It seems to me that I've seen those things shift over the years back and forth, and it seems to me that there's some crossover between those two line items, right? When we're buying pens for back there, they're used by both elections and
high school.
and you split them.
Yeah, so my question was the bump this year. It looks to me like we went real low in what you actually bought in FY15, and it looks to me like we're catching up a little this year on that. I'm just wondering why we would go another bump this year from 5,000 to 6,000.
Office? I'm sorry.
So the extra
You're talking about the election side?
I'm on the election side.
Oh, I'm sorry. I was in the administrative side. Yes, that's the scanners.
So yeah. That's $1,000 that we have not normally spent.
Right.
Perfect. Explain
so,
that to me.
Yeah, I'm sorry. I was looking
That's all right. Yeah, all elections right now.
And then if you also see in election supplies, we're looking at getting some poll worker software management, and that's a subscription service, so we wouldn't be investing in hardware or like maintenance fees. It was a subscription, so if we didn't like it, we actually had a demo this morning. We have another one next week or 2 weeks from now. The statewide system, iVoters, has some modules for election workers. The system is now, I think, going on its 11th or 12th year, and fourth Secretary of State. We have seen modules that have never come online or worked properly. The election worker module is pretty, iVoters works great for voter registration and absentee balloting. For everything else, it's supposed to do, not so much. So we do a lot of stuff with just Excel spreadsheets or Access databases. For $3,500, we could import all that in and embed stuff in the web and do things like blast text, blast emails, which would really help in emergency situations.
Sure. But it looks to me like even plugging that in, you're still staying pretty consistent with where you are in all your elections anyway in what we're doing. So there must be an offset somewhere that we see in that.
Well, I think we've done really well with our printing costs lately. We have worked really hard with our suppliers to get those numbers down or to only order what we actually need. That's always, and we try to hold off and not have bulk supplies because of things, legislative changes, postage changes, absentee balloting changes. I mean, what's not in here is really any, except for maybe in postage, is any, I don't know what's going to happen legislatively. So we don't like, unfortunately, we can only plan ahead so much.
Sure. You should feel comforted that the board stands ready to assist if we get some kind of curveball thrown at us legislatively.
Right. And so what we try to concentrate is what things we do have control over. Can we do better with our poll workers? Can we get a couple more laptops so we have training materials available? Because when we have a full election, all of our equipment is in use.
Sure.
So,
and one thing that we had to revert to before but don't have to anymore is the eligibility slips, which are kind of costly.
Okay.
The new printers handle, they just print on regular white paper. So that's really saved in that.
So that's the offset that I'm seeing.
And well, also our Wi-Fi hotspots really came down. That's all on Kevin's. There are offsets within the budget, certainly.
Okay, so that gives us past election supplies and forms. I didn't have any questions on the next two, which leads me to postage and mailing, which you just started to reference. So on page 19, second from the bottom, it looks to me like 15,000 is higher than we normally are on and off year elections. So talk me through that.
During off-year elections, there's a lot of programs that are mandated that we run that can't be done previous to a general election.
The federal election, yeah.
Their process is with the intent of cleaning the voter registration rolls. Of course, they don't like to do that before an election, but it's the National Change of Address Program.
Sure.
Cleans a lot, or does a lot to clean up the list. But that's
by saying clean up the list.
There's basically three processes. There is enacted to canceled, which is people that are inactive for a period of time. We can change their status to canceled, but we have to mail them something. There's a national change of address, which is people that have filed those with the post office, and then they get sent to both of their addresses, and they say, yes, this is right, yes, this is no, comes back. And then there is no activity for 4 years. So if you have not voted in an election in 4 years, then we send you something. Usually it's because people have moved, but haven't filed changes like in COA. So it's mostly that voters are just not very diligent about keeping their voter registration records updated. So that's why in state code it recognizes this, and we do, you know, we do daily processes like reading obituaries and getting information from other jurisdictions that this person's not registered here. So there's that we do, and then we do these sort of mass things on a regular basis.
But these mass things all drive up the cost of posting.
Right.
Absolutely, but is it new? I mean, have we been doing this in the off-year elections before?
Postage is going up. We're also, I don't know what legislative changes will do to our postage costs, but I'm assuming they're going to go up. So some of that's in here too.
Yes, but my preference would be that if we have a legislative change that gives us unforeseen cost increase, then we come back as a board and we deal with that when it happens, rather than trying to budget to something that we don't have any idea about. And so what I look at here, and you guys just talked me through this, you look at FY14, FY15, FY16, we were between 7,400 and 8,600. There's not been a time that I've seen, I mean, this is almost double what we normally spend in these off-year elections in postage. So I just want to understand how and why that's what we feel like we need to budget to.
We also have precincts that will be polling place changes that I know that are happening, and then some that we don't know. So then we have to mail to everybody in those.
Sure.
Those kind of catch us off guard or not, but I think three in Ames that are, I'm going to have to find a new polling place for.
And how often is that a pretty normal occurrence that we have a few that we change, or have we gone for years with just having everything?
It seems like there's been a real uptick, and I don't know why. It's really troubling, and the voters hate it, and they get really angry, and they accuse this office of trying to baffle people and suppress
voters. Sure, well, yeah, clearly.
I think, yeah, knowing that there's like three that are going to change this year is high. Usually there's like one every couple of years. It seems like now we're getting really increasing that. So
another increase that's caused us more postage lately is the change of addresses that Iowa State has gone through. And so we have our voter records show one address, but that physical address has changed.
Sure.
And there's been a lot of bounce back. We've got a lot of bounce back on postage, so we get a lot of return mail that we have to, in turn,
reset,
try and correct. But we're finding now that as cities change addresses, as the university changes residence hall addresses, that one particular address, particular physical location can have as many as three different addresses, and it's kind of a moving target as to what address you're going to send something to actually get it to a person. So that's
what we have, like three mandated mailings when something comes back like that.
Yes.
So.
Yeah, and 100%, I get all of it. I'm just really struggling with the idea that we believe we're going to spend $15,000 this year in a general election year, and we turn around and we also think we're going to spend that same $15,000 in a non-general election year when we've never seen that happen before. We've always spent less in our off years than we do in a general election year.
Well, taking both of these and working them out as actual mailings, then I assume we're looking at basically a first class postage rate, roughly 50 cents.
Well, it depends on the type of mailing. Sometimes it's a postcard, which I think is going to 36 cents now, and sometimes it's a letter, follow up letter. And then sometimes, like the sometimes the postcard comes back, and then the letter comes back, and that goes through, and then we send them another postcard, and that comes back, and then we start the whole
thing. Well, I was just doing units of mailing to kind of figure this out, and from this year to the 12,287 you have, you know, right, you're almost at your 50,000. So you've already got in this year.
Yeah, we haven't done NCOA.
4,000 items to mail, roughly at 50 cents. If you go back to where Rick is, that the 8,000 back in 2014, which would have been the other midterm election year, then you're looking at 16,000 pieces of mail at 50 cents each average. Is that a
okay? Yeah, but that 12,000 also includes a $2,600 charge from $2,400 charge from iVoters that we had to use to.
That's for NCOA? Or?
No, that was for that.
Oh, yeah, sorry.
Iowa State database crap.
Oh, yeah, right.
Iowa State that, University database crap that we had to mail out that they charged us $2,400 to set it up.
Yeah, so just cutting the chase. I think 15's high. I think it's more like 12. I believe that there's some money built in here for the unknown, and I don't like building in for the unknown. And so that's what I'm suggesting. If everybody can live with that. And then if we get something that we don't expect, we'll come back in here and we'll deal with it.
Okay.
Like I said, with the treasurer's office, too, it's her department. If she feels comfortable with it, then that's fine.
We'll do 12.
As I said, we're the super.
I can do 12, and if I need it, I'll come back.
That's perfect. Okay.
On an operations level, Iowa State's changing to be more specific on the building addresses has been a problem for agencies other than your own. Is there anything that your office can do to? Okay, great. It's an architect.
We do go to the multi-agency addressing groups.
Tell me about bounce backs. I mean, is there anything prior to saying, when Kevin says there's three known addresses, see that, you know, on a previous...
Well, as far as Iowa State, we see that with the city of Nevada.
I know Nevada's gone. Yeah. Once again, they have different... I get that. I can tell you that from another capacity.
Yeah.
But I'm just saying, internally, knowing that the changes have been there, I mean, is there anything... I'm not saying that you're not doing something. I say, is there anything that you could suspect that you could do?
We go to the multi-agency addressing, and Iowa State does attend that. Amanda Roush, the E911 coordinator, hosts those over in the squad room on a regular basis. Kevin goes to those. Patty from real estate goes because she's actually helps maintain the street edit for our election side. Nobody cares about our administrative burden, ever. So, you know, Kevin was just there, last week, and Chris, they opened the big new dorms, the Joffrey Hall. Oh, did you need to be on that mailing list? I'm like, and this literally, it's like, yeah.
Chris?
So we have to be really active in tracking this stuff down.
Oh, yeah. I
see. So, but, it's an uphill battle.
Where you have an address on a Friday does not represent what Monday looks like.
Chris, yeah. Kevin, and Lucy went to two or three meetings with Iowa State before they changed the post.
That was back in 15.
Yeah, and begged them not to do it until after.
Right.
Is there? Do you have to have this? Or
and, was this
and then they changed stuff. They said they weren't going to change. Yeah. Like University Village.
Well, then I'm glad I don't have that. Problems. I'm just saying, you know, I sit there and I overlay with what you know, having had to do.
No, I say this all the time. Addressing is one of the hardest things we do. It's one of the messiest things we do. It sounds ridiculous. It sounds like it should be very straightforward. But it is the beast that cannot be tamed, apparently.
Well, yeah, especially with Iowa State.
So
let's do it. So that takes care of that one. I didn't have any questions on employee mileage and expenses unless you guys did. Communication services. Same conversation we're having with everybody. Markley, you feel comfortable with this?
Yeah.
This is really where it is.
I got my spreadsheet from Barb early this morning.
Yep.
Early yesterday afternoon, and I'm going to go in to all the budgets and do it.
We're going to figure out what we really are. Okay.
We're pretty close. Yeah.
Good. Which is where we want to be.
Education training, you do see a big jump there.
Yep.
And that is... I'm just planning to send Kevin to CIRA training, which is national training for election administrators. I did send the previous deputy to that. We do have seat certification here. Kevin is at the level where he could probably be teaching all those seat classes. I do see a great benefit to Story County to expand on his knowledge base there.
100%. Lucy, I didn't even have that one, sir.
Oh, okay. No, I didn't. I think you could see a big jump there.
That's a big jump, but I think you there is huge value for the people of Story County to us doing that. So unless Morris Marty want to talk about that $4,000. Talk to us. I'm not questioning equipment rent and maintenance. We had something that came with our equipment first year or so, and now we got to pay for it.
Right. The first year there was no maintenance charge. That was part of the deal. We also got I think 4 rounds of training for our election workers with that as well. And now, you know, the honeymoon is over.
Yeah, so now it's $41,000 or so that we weren't spending before that now we're spending as part of this.
And we've been really pleased with our vendor. They come here when we've had any equipment failures, which we did luck at Township for whatever reason. We just got a lemon there. They've been very good about dealing with those issues. I really have no complaints. I think we made an excellent choice with our election.
And so this is a 41 that we're going to see every year until such time as we get new equipment.
Right.
And then it'll be dependent upon where we go with that new equipment and what kind of deal we cut.
Yes.
How many years are we going? 6 years, is that right, that we're expecting equipment all up?
I think, yes, 7 to 8 is where we were last time. What doesn't change since I've been working in the auditor's office, and probably even since Lisa's been working in the auditor's office, are the tabulators, what we use at the precinct. That's a really sort of stable piece of equipment. I think the ADA component, that worked out really well for us, and using that exclusively for our in-person absentee voting,
uh-huh,
I think was really good. It lets us, we don't print extra ballots that we don't need. We get, we have the ballots that we need all the time. And those, I think renting that equipment and not stressing our own equipment, that worked out really well.
I have a question related to the registration or the check-in part at the voting polls.
Mm-hmm.
Paul Pate's proposal here for the little voter ID card, is that going to increase our equipment costs? Will we need a new piece of equipment to do more rebuilds?
Paul Pate has not actually given anybody a piece of paper to look at, right? So everybody is very concerned about what my response to that is, and I'm like, well, when I get something to review, I can. Something that's being workshopped via press release is not really something I'm going to get real excited about. He seems, I read the same news story as you do, Loris, and it seems like it changes on the weekly about what that's going to be. So I have no idea if this is actually going to go anywhere. No legislation has actually been introduced by Secretary Pate. There are some competing, at least one competing bill out there that has been introduced, which is completely different. So,
how many counties use the same equipment and have the same scanning capabilities that we have?
Are you talking about Precinct Atlas? Or are you talking about
Precinct Atlas? Is what I'm thinking.
Precinct Atlas is about 70 counties.
Yeah.
Then there's also the Secretary of State has Express School Book, and I don't know how many 6 counties use that maybe.
But if a change were made that we're going to negatively impact those using Precinct Atlas in that system, it's going to impact 70 counties. I would think, and you never know, but I would think they would keep their eye on that.
We're probably using the scanning capability with Precinct Atlas.
No, it's available. It would be about a $25,000 cost to the county to, well, actually more now because we have more laptops.
To have a
scanner.
If
the state wants to impose that on us, I think they should absolutely pay for that component.
Yep.
Yep.
Laura, did I get to your question?
You did.
All right. Super. Next one I have was voter registration service.
This is primary election line.
Oh, okay.
Yep. And just comparing this to where we were all the way back to FY12, thank you, Lisa, for writing that in for us. It looks like there's quite a jump.
What's going to happen in next June is we are going to have a three-way primary. Libertarians qualify that 2% to get on the primary ballot, and we haven't had a three-way primary since 2002.
Okay.
It's really hard to even know how to budget for that, so I just included an uptick that there will be more participation. It's usually very low turnout, but we would have to do three ballot styles instead of two. We might have some programming costs because Precinct Atlas is not set up for that. And also, we have to hear from the state about them changing the forms. Right now, libertarians are classified as non-party political organizations, and if you look at an absentee ballot request form for primary, it's not a box that you can check, which is required. You have to check that party box. So, I mean, if people want to draw it in and make, I don't know. So there's a lot of unknowns right now. I wish that was the conversation that we were having with Secretary of State's office right now.
But what is known is we're going to have a three-way primary for the first time. It's reasonable to me that we would plug in a little extra knowing that we're going to have that three-way.
I think we have something like 156 registered libertarians in Story County. That seems to be a more popular choice for younger voters, students who are not usually present at a primary time, but you can go to the polls on a primary and declare a party there. So if there are interesting candidates and people want to make that choice,
it would have to. I mean, I just anecdotally, it would have to drive up party affiliation, the fact that they're going to be included in the primary.
Right. I think it really is going to depend on what kind of slate of candidates are presented by libertarians.
Eric Cooper.
It could be a really long ballot.
It could. Anything else on the election side? So I'm ready to get to the administration. Is there anything else we need to talk about?
Just wanted to say on the narrative side on page 23, that was a cut and paste error. There is a city election this year. So that was on the, not on the printed side, but on the narrative side.
But you feel confident that you've reflected what those are going to be, which are generally pass-through dollars on the city elections.
Right.
Yep. All right, so we're to administration, which is bottom of page 20. And in my mind, we can go ahead and flip to page 21 because all that is employee-related stuff, and we'll do the same there that we do everywhere else. So on to office supplies. I told you when we first started talking about office supplies on the election side, I feel like those two are in some ways tied together. I didn't have any real questions on this one except why have we only spent $2,000 so far this year? The plat books are a major part of that cost. Okay. That was my one question there. Loris, Marty, anything? Postage mailing looked consistent to me, even with increased costs, which is happening for postage and mailing. So my next one was communication services. Same question. We feel pretty good about that number. Or Lisa, after you go through what you got, you'll plug in what we feel like that is.
Yeah, Lisa's been keeping a real close eye on that.
It's been horrible, but I think we're getting to the end of that conversation now. I feel good about what Alyssa and Barb got for us to look at, and now I think we're at the end. I didn't have any other questions. I didn't have, Loris, Marty, anything else on administration?
No, I just made the assumption with the education that even though you only have $362 now, that you were planning to send some people.
Well, Scott's going to go to Esri, and she goes to every other.
Well, you estimated that down $1,000 this year, so clearly you're not going to send something that we had budgeted for. But still carrying through that $3,000 next year, to me, makes a lot of sense.
Right.
We want to get as much of that training done as we can. Okay. Marty, anything there?
From that point down, the numbers line up. They look good next to the three-year average.
That's it for auditors. I see it. Lucy, anything you want to close with?
No, just welcome new board members. If you haven't fun yet, this is our last budget work session, so...
It's all starting to come together.
It is.
Yep. It's always very informative to me, and I've been coming to these for years now. So.
Well, Kevin, Julie, thank you very much. I get back to work. Okay, so we got some members of the public here with us. If you guys want to just sit and observe, that's great. But if you have a particular item that you'd like us to be aware of as we start to go through and talk about more of the countywide portions of the budget, now would be a great time to come in and let us know what you're interested in and what you'd like us to be looking at.
Loving my
iPad anywhere.
There's no retiring benefits.
That's right. Sir, come on up to the microphone. If you have something you'd like to address, just because we record this, start by introducing yourself if you don't mind.
Now, my name's Steve Fales. I'm chair of the Story County Soil and Water Conservation Commission. And we've come here to present a request to the Board of Supervisors.
Outstanding. Now's a great time.
Okay, I would like to bring forward my colleagues, also on the commission. Yeah.
We've got four seats and three people. That works out. Wayne, Wayne, you want to fill in the four seats?
And we have some handouts for the floor.
So, Lisa, tell us where in our budget we're looking at our what we currently put in soil and water.
Page 34.
Okay.
It's out of the wash and sale tax dollars.
Okay. And so we've been budgeting
$15,000.
$7,500.
Okay. We increased from $5,000 to $7,500.
Okay.
It's been kind of hit and miss as to whether that makes it before the end of the fiscal, the claim gets in before the end of the fiscal year, which I've had conversations with, so I think we'll do better on that. So sometimes we don't pay the $7,500 until the next fiscal. So that's why it looks kind of odd. So okay. The $7,500 we spent, or the $4,500 we spent this year, is actually a FY16 request.
Okay.
Okay. We requested $4,500 left for FY16. So I'm assuming there's going to be a $7,500 request for FY17 yet.
Okay.
Okay, so that will increase. Well, that's why I have $15,000 in there, so they could request 2 years' worth.
Okay.
And next year, $7,500. So $7,500 for next year is most likely what they want.
But trying to get caught back up so that we're making the request in the spring every year, this is for you guys,
right.
Making the request in the spring every year so that we can get it paid before July 1st so that it reflects appropriately on the budget rather than working a year behind.
Right.
Okay.
So I'd like to introduce my colleagues.
Sure.
Dana Holland, who's a district conservationist. You probably know him. And do we know Kayla?
I do.
You do? Yeah.
Here at Hasper with the Prairie Rivers RCMP.
She's doing a great job with Prairie Rivers and the Squaw Creek World Watershed, and we're happy to have her.
I'd first of all like to start out by saying the commissioners have met and are very pleased with the direction the board has shown, the leadership the board has shown in the watershed assessment program. It's clearly the way to go. And we've been pushing this for a long time, and finally to get the city of Ames to understand that they need to take a little watershed view is a very, very important thing to do. And so we commend you for showing your leadership. One more example of how, you know, problems can be solved at a local level. That's another discussion. I'd like to thank the supervisors for your continuing support of us. We do our best to make use of the funds responsibly, although as you just heard, there are a little bit of some glitches with respect to timing, and most of what we've been doing historically is essentially distributing cost share dollars, and that's very hard to plan for that because demand changes with weather, with crop prices, and so on and so on. So it's always a balance of key. What we are proposing is we're asking for additional funds. Now, over the past year or so, since I became chair, we've been developing a strategic plan for the commission. And to help us really promote our mission more effectively in the county. And one of the primary objectives is to proactively foster a culture, we call a culture of conservation in the county. Again, it's the local level, starting with the local citizens, fostering a culture of conservation. And in doing so, partnering with other organizations such as Prairie Rivers, such as PFI, and even perhaps the supervisors. And along those lines, we'd like to invite the supervisors to attend any of our meetings just to get a feel of how we conduct them. We have an annual tour of the county with supervisors go out on farms, visit with farmers, look at what they're doing conservation-wise, and so on. But that's a standing invitation to the board.
Well, and thank you. We'll take you up on that. At least one of us. So the problem with more than one of us is we got to make sure it's always listed as an open meeting. But I would think you would absolutely commit that at least one of us will attend this. And what I would ask is, before you guys go, make sure that you are in regular communication, if you're not already, Taylor, with Leanne Carter, and keeping us up to date on when these are occurring so that we can get that on the first account.
Another thing, we unfortunately did not get to present our annual report. It was supposed to be due last week, the week before. But we had an unfortunate incident among our staff and could not get our stuff together. So this presentation theoretically should have been after our budget, our annual report. But be that, let that stand for now. Okay, so we're requesting two additional items that are consistent with our strategic plan. One is very simple. We are requesting funds for a broadcast seeder for cover crops that we would rent out to farmers. Now, one of the problems in conservation practices, in the Lowell particularly, is that farmers don't have the necessary equipment to do things, so that's one more reason not to do cover crops. And what we're proposing is a situation where the commissioner, I'm thinking that one of the farmer commissioners who would be responsible for maintaining a piece of equipment, and we would rent it out and advertise and rent it out to farmers at a nominal charge.
Excellent.
And that's going to run about $1,500. The second request is for funds to help the commission develop a closer partnership with Prairie Rivers RCMP. I am going on to the board of directors as of tomorrow. That's one thing. But we want to further engage at the programmatic level and encourage the commissioners, not encourage the commissioners who will participate. And various activities that are important to watersheds throughout the county. The major one we're focusing on this year will be the Kigley Branch watershed that flows into the Skunk River. And I've asked Caleb to come here and sort of walk us through what her vision is for our partnership, and then we'll take questions.
Okay, so first I gave you all a map. So just so you guys can understand where we're at if you don't already. So we're currently working in Squaw Creek. So we have a management plan written for Squaw Creek. It was published in 2014. And from that, we have done a project with the Iowa Department of Agriculture and Land Stewardship. So this provides cost share to landowners in the Squaw Creek, as well as an education outreach component. So to further develop our watershed work, we have hired a watershed educator who started at the beginning of January, and he will be working on this Kigley Branch watershed management plan. So we have a grant from the federal NRCS to write this plan, and with that we'll be engaging stakeholders, getting all the partners together, and kind of doing a series of listening sessions with the public and assessing the current state of the watershed, and then we'll again work with EOR, the consulting firm that wrote the Squaw Creek, to write the plan. So they'll be doing the technical side of it.
Okay.
So with that, like I said, we'll be doing the stakeholder engagement, and this requires kind of a, we wanted to solidify our partnerships with some of these people that we've been working alongside for a long time, and I've been going to the commissioner meetings every month and updating them on our project, and they, you know, use that information to help guide their projects, and again, they have a strategic plan that they're working on. So, do you have any questions about the map before I kind of move on from that? Okay. So this second sheet of paper here is kind of the areas that Prairie Rivers can assist the commissioners in achieving their strategic plan goals. So the quote is broken into three parts. So the first part is a annual report design. So they have currently just kind of done a two-page information sheet, and they feel that they would like to kind of talk to the community members in a more professional way. So part of that would be a new report design, so giving information on what they've done for the year. So this is going to be an example. This is actually for a reverse annual report. So kind of some great information about your goals, and then kind of information about the year, and then just a nice format, and then kind of giving a shout-out to all the people that they partner with. So just something a little bit more professional. The second part of this would be the support of the Kegley Branch Management Plan. So as I said, we're going to be writing a management plan, and would need assistance with the listening sessions and to engage community members. And I would assume the commissioners would already be, have a part in this, but this would kind of help, you know, compensate for their efforts and time, and kind of the information of the radio shows and that we would need to do, as well as some information like fact sheets or rack cards of some sort. And the third part is the financial support of field days. So Prairie Rivers will be doing three field days this year, two in Squaw Creek and one in East Indian Creek. And then we're looking to kind of find support for those field days because it takes a lot of planning, and there's a lot of materials that need to go into that, as well as it's nice to have a meal to encourage people to come. So that's kind of the three sections. I welcome any questions about any of that. The bottom part is the total for this kind of quote, and then the commissioners have mentioned that they would use the remaining $3,000 to support Prairie Rivers, and so the bottom is just the request for the 2018.
Yes, thank you. Yes, we have about $3,000 remaining FY county funds, and we are proposing to put those into this proposal. And so our ask, total ask for the Kegley Branch piece of this is going to be $7,800 minus $3,000.
Super. Thank you so much for the presentation. So my question is, what is the $7,500 that we currently budgeted? Clearly we've had some issues with trying to get it all accounted for and out. What are we currently using? What are you guys currently using that $7,500 for?
Mainly for cost share. Am I right, Dan?
Mostly cost share.
So if you dip into that, this remaining $3,000, does it mean you're not going to be able to do the cost share?
We're anticipating this other $7,500 coming.
The $4,500 that they requested was their normal, quote-unquote, regular request.
Right.
They're
but it was for FY16.
It was for FY16.
Right.
It was for FY17.
Okay.
Okay. FY17, $4,502.
Yes.
And the...
Sure.
And then they want additional $3,000, so they get their $7,500 for FY17.
Right.
That was, no, I'm sorry, I was wrong, it was 16. So there's another 3,000 for 16, and then the 17 request is another 7,500.
Okay.
Is my understanding? So that if you look at that, We budgeted $7,500, we spent $7,500 plus another $7,500 for the fiscal year that we're in.
So the $3,000 is really kind of, we could look at it, left over for fiscal year.
Right, exactly, that's what it is.
All right, and so you still have $7,500 left if there are cost share.
Right, but it even goes beyond that. It goes back. So we spent $7,516. It was just $15.
Right. Right.
So we're actually all over playing catch up all the way back in 15 right now. But I just want to make sure I understand this. I don't want to cut in at all to the cost share programs that you guys currently have. So we're talking about $7,500 in the cost share program. And then we're talking about an additional $7,500 that you guys want to put toward these additional programs through PRRS. And here's my questions there. Completely supportive. You know, we're part of the Squaw Creek watershed. The Kingley Branch is an offshoot of the Squaw Creek watershed. Shouldn't these dollars, if they're going to benefit those two watersheds, run through that watershed authority?
And I'm going to follow it up a little bit late because this is where my head was heading to, and I want to come back up to your presentation, which is entitled this, Prairie Rivers of Iowa Outreach Support Contract Quote. And when I hear support for a contract, it's usually Prairie Rivers providing support to the government entity. And in this case, you're backwards. And so my question was, why didn't this request come directly from Prairie Rivers? We kind of have this circular funding flow now. So I did hear you say to solidify your relationship so can you explain more, because that seems, well, you and I are on the same page here.
Yeah, I understand that. I thought about that too, but it really seriously is to solidify the relationship. It's essentially pass through, right?
Right. Yeah.
So we anticipate closer working relationships with Prairie Rivers as commissioners, and we see this as just the beginning. And we need to do whatever we can to foster that relationship. And I don't know if it's semantics, it could be rewarded somehow.
And then the other thing is, this will be ongoing requests. So basically, you're requesting we move forward with looking at probably 15,000 minimum requests from you per year, 7,500 for the cost share, 7,500 for your pass through to Prairie Rivers. To become a funding agent yourself.
Fair enough. And in doing so, what we anticipate is the commission having a closer tie to what Prairie Rivers is doing, and thereby bringing the commission into the sphere where it hasn't been since.
I don't think there's import there. I just want to figure out what's an appropriate way to do that. So to this point, and Kayla, if you don't know this, I sure understand that, but to this point, as I understand it, Squaw Creek has been funded by grants. Mm-hmm. It has not been the members of the authority, which is Story County, Ames, Gilbert, Boone County, etc. There has been no funding directly from any of those entities for Squaw Creek, and we expect the same kind of thing for Kegley because that's based on a grant that was received by Prairie Rivers in order to do the assessment of Kegley.
Mm-hmm.
Long term, those grant dollars are going to dry up, and we're going to have to figure out how to fund this thing for all those entities. Now, you guys, as I understand it, are a member of the Squaw Creek Watershed Authority. I think IRV
represents
on that. And so it seems to me that there are going to be dollars flowing from the entities that are part of these watershed authorities into the watershed. And so that makes perfect sense to me. I want to make sure that we build whatever that is the right way. I'm in complete agreement with you that we need as close a tie as possible between you guys and all of our watersheds. And since Prairie River seems to be the entity that we're looking to for our watersheds, it makes sense that we would try to help tie you guys together. The other caveat to this we're going to talk about, I think, here in a few minutes in our budget work sessions is what Story County's ongoing commitment to our other watersheds are. We've got an RFP in the field. Is it out yet? We got an RFP in the field right now looking at doing assessments for the rest of our watersheds, primarily on the HUC 12 level.
Right.
One HUC 10, I think, in that.
Higley's at HUC 10, right?
I'm sorry?
Yeah.
Higley's at HUC 10.
Kigley's a HUC 10, Squaw's a HUC 10, West Indian Creek is a HUC 10, and we'll do that one. And then the rest of them, we're going to do the HUC 12s, and they line up pretty nicely with the county boundaries. We'll see how that request goes. So we're all in on this. I think for years, we talked to your predecessor for years, it was Chunkman, wasn't it?
Mark
Chunkman. Mm-hmm. We talked to him for years about the possibility of increased support for the county to do these kind of things. I'm just struggling with the line of how this works as a straight passer.
What it feels like a little to me, just feels like, okay, with, as I put it out, the reverse relationship, it's almost like you're having to pay to play. It's a little that feeling. Because you're already a member of, like, the Squaw Creek Watershed. You're going on the board for Prairie Rivers. And normally the contract would be that Prairie Rivers is providing you the services, but instead you're just helping them. And that's what it feels like a little bit, is that you want the money to solidify your relationship, and I'm hearing to play, because you've already got a relationship with them. I'm not against the money funding. I'm with Rick with the flow of it, so that we don't get into a situation where Prairie Rivers, like a lot of nonprofit boards, okay, that their members are expected to financially contribute. So you want to be clear that isn't what it looks like to the public, certainly, right? That the funding is separate from your membership on the board.
How should we do that?
So I think what I'm hearing here, and what I'm going to suggest we move forward with, is a request from the Soil and Water District to double our budgeted funding from $7,500 to $15,000, and then what the commissioners, how you decide to utilize those dollars, that's up to the commission. You said, what, tomorrow is your last day? You say you roll off? I thought you said something about you roll off
for
tomorrow. But in my mind, this is a request to double the funding from $7,500 to $15,000. And I would be really reluctant for the Board of Supervisors to get in at all to how you guys utilize those dollars. If you utilize it exactly like this, because that's what the commissioners decide to do, okay. But that's not for the Board of Supervisors to weigh in on. So I'd like to put that off on the side. The second one I heard was a $1,500 cedar.
Right.
And what I'd like to suggest there, first of all, I think that Joe Quaker in IRVM has a cedar that's available, at least one, maybe multiple. And if we need to buy another one that is primarily and on a priority basis, reserved for you guys to schedule through him. So I get concerned about using public dollars to buy anything like that, that then we're going to keep at, I think you said, one of the commissioner's farms we're going to keep at. I'd rather have it under the purview where I know it's getting the maintenance, it's getting and everything else, but have it available if we're short on cedars. If we go in and look at our schedule and we don't have open time, we want as many cover crops out there as possible. I think we're all in. I don't think $1,500 is a big deal. What's a bigger deal to me is I would want it maintained by our IRVM, because I know the job they do, and have it available through you guys to be scheduled out and figure out the logistics there. That's my suggestion.
That's a good point.
So in terms of this request, what's the form of that?
You just made it. Done. It's a request. Now the board's got to decide whether we plug it in or not. So right now we're looking at a budget that has $7,500 for soil and water conservation for FY18, and now we're going to talk about whether we take that to $15,000, what that does to us in our lost funds. This is out of lost funds, right?
Correct.
What that does to us in lost funds and how we balance. Right now, what's in the lost fund takes us to a negative balance in our loss, so we're going to have to talk that all the way through with more than just you guys, right? We've got libraries coming out of there, and we've got a few things coming out of there that we've got to talk through.
But the request is now made, and it will be absolutely considered. If you want to stick around long enough for it, I'm not going to ask the board to make a decision on that one item until we get all the way through looking at those lost dollars. So if you want to stick around for the rest of that conversation, you're sure welcome.
And your decision will be communicated that how I'm new to them.
Well, so I've got a Prairie Rivers meeting tomorrow night.
Tomorrow night it is, yeah.
Who represents you? You'll be there. So if you want to leave, our decision will be communicated when you and I see each other tomorrow night.
Okay.
All right.
Thank you.
Thank you, Pete.
Absolutely. Thank you for the presentation. All right, I need a 2-minute break before we go on.
Okay.
All right, we're on. Board of Supervisors, page 31. I feel like we should have Melissa out here in front of us.
Oh, yeah.
All right, so we're going down to office supplies on page 31. I didn't have any questions there. Board proceedings, we need to talk.
On office supplies, are you going to talk about these chairs?
That would be down.
That's office
equipment.
Yeah, I'm just saying, just that.
Yeah. Office supplies, we've stayed pretty consistent. I think that's where we'll stay. I don't see us needing to buy a whole lot more office supplies than we have in the past. And that's right at the 4,500 where we're going to be this year. So the board proceedings at 44,000, that includes the normal board proceedings stuff, which is about 32,000. It also includes an additional 12,000 to distribute our quarterly public newsletter in the Sun. Leanne and I had a meeting with the publisher of the Sun probably 3 months ago. That's not about right, Leanne. About 3 months ago, and just talked through the possibilities. It looks like it would be about $4,000, about $3,000 a quarter to get it done. I am asking that this board not only plug in the $12,000 for FY18, but also plan on doing it once in FY17, which would be $3,000 of unbudgeted funds. It's the beauty about the Sun, and the reason that Leanne and I went and met with them is it's the one publication we have that ends up in every single mailbox in the county.
I'm not sure it does. So I had talked to Leanne about that.
Yep.
We agreed that she and I would go back and talk to the publisher again. We just need to verify exactly where their current distribution is. And I probably can ask the right question to verify that it's really reaching who we want. It still may be a great deal if it's reaching 90% there, you know, and getting the word out there. And it certainly has a multiplicative factor, and it just doesn't reach one person for every time it's distributed. It's a pickup type of publication that has a shelf life. And so I just want to verify exactly.
So then I would ask, great, I would ask that we plug the 12,000 in and ask that you and Leanne get back over and meet with, is his name Scott? Get back over and meet with Scott as soon as possible so that we can make a final decision on that. Marty, any huge issues there with that outreach?
When we sat there and looked at our first numbers, we were at 40.5 versus 38.5. This was a number that I thought, okay, this is low-hanging fruit if I got to find dollars to save.
Yep.
I think Loris is clearly the best person to find out the fact that she has comfort spending these extra dollars in a tight budgeting. And I would defer to her experience and her suggestions in this sense, because if we're chasing pennies, which become dollars, I would have to say that I could have, you know, as much as I think we need to get our message out and take it to the people, this would be one of the places I would probably say, maybe not in this environment.
Okay, so then, great. Can we go ahead and tentatively plug this in?
Yes, I would have covered there.
Okay, tentatively plug it in. We'll find out what Loris and Leanne come up with, and then we'll make a final decision there.
Fine.
I didn't have anything on employee mileage and expense, communication services. Alyssa, where are we?
Oh, I'm sorry. I have something for employee mileage and expense. If we bring on a communications intern, I think that we definitely will be paying more in mileage, because we will often, sometimes at least, be paying that intern for his or her car, or to use a tool car, in which case I know we don't incur the same sales. It doesn't go on the same line item, but we need to look at compensation for gas as well.
So the intern coming to and from this building would not get reimbursed mileage?
No, coming
to... You mean going to different places?
Yeah, going to different places.
Using their personal...
Part of the whole reason of using an intern would... One of the tasks would be to go out and take some photos, would be to go out and go out to talk to Secretary Rose, crews, et cetera.
And I'm going to want... I'm going to desperately want in that situation... that intern to use one of our
vehicles.
So I would suggest we don't need to add anything there. And, but understand that one of our pool cars, which we want it to be used more, is going to get used more.
All right.
Okay.
Okay.
Good. Thank you. Communication services, Alyssa, is that close or?
6,500.
Where do you think we're going to be?
For Barb's thing, and I think that's pretty accurate looking at it. So we can take it down to, it's like 6,441.
Yeah.
So I just asked.
All right. So Lisa, we'll ask you to make sure when you go through all of them that you make sure that one's right. Education and training. So Alyssa and I worked on this. We bumped it pretty substantially,
and it is based primarily on not knowing for sure what the three of us are going to do. I don't want you guys to be excluded from doing something you want to do because we don't have money in the budget for you to do it. I think that next year we'll be able to make a more concise estimate of what that's going to be. We're going to know who's involved in what. I'm going to NACO this year. You guys are going to have to figure out exactly where you're going to spend your time and what you want to get done. But that's what Alyssa and I came up with, just thinking about the possibility of a couple going here and a couple going there. Alyssa, anything to add?
For the board, no. The other part of that education and training, there is a separate item, which would be leadership training for my position. At the request, I know Rick and I had talked about that. That $12.95 is a program through ATW that they do. There's like 10 courses that you can use, whether some of them you take on online, some of them you actually have to go down. They did offer an AIMS starting last October. That was not going to work, so I don't know if there's any more discussion on that. That is in addition to our HR training.
Everybody good?
Yes.
Okay. So the next line is contract labor. We can talk about that.
Can I make a comment on the equipment rent maintenance? Those are estimated copy costs. We did not previously have any counts, so I just... It's a complete sway. I don't know. I kind of know how much we print. I don't know how many publications Leanne's going to do.
Right above it. We're still
four,
bottom.
Four,
four,
four.
All
right. Yeah. So I just want you to know that this is the first time, so I don't know if that's going to be high, going to be low. The one above that, the maintenance agreement, we did take over the county attorney had been paying for our...
file.
I did ask, you know, I had a conversation... we had a conversation with the facility. They were able to enclose it so it was real secure. As far as the maintenance on those movable files, that is not something. So we do. They had been paying for it since now. We are the only ones that are utilizing it. I did plug it into our budget. It is, but honestly, it's wonderful to put our files down there. They are.
Yeah, so if the two of you haven't been down in the file room, we've got a file room downstairs that used to be county attorney. It was not heavily utilized. We freed up some new space for the county attorney over in the Justice Center. We moved their files out. We took it over from HR. It's got some beautiful moving shelves in there. It's a secure
room.
Yeah.
Is this the line item where we would talk about a dedicated video camera and equipment for communications? It says rent maintenance.
Right.
Typically, that will come out of IT if you need to purchase it. That would be your request, but...
The deal is, that's why I'm advocating it comes out of the Board of Supervisors budget instead, is that we don't want to share it with anybody. And right now, IT is controlling cameras, and that's not a good idea for communications. Now, if you want it to come out of the IT budget, as long as it's permanently signed out to...
How much are we talking about? And I...
$1,000.
Yeah, so I would suggest we put $1,000, and we'll get to this later, put $1,000 in office equipment and furniture, right? But it may be more than $1,000 if we're buying 7 new chairs right here.
Okay, good. So that's where I had it.
Okay, yeah. So let's we'll get to that.
Okay,
super. Any questions on the equipment, rent, and maintenance? And if not, we'll move on to contract labor, which Laura, you want to talk about?
I understand that the $50,000 or $60,000 is for 5 contracts. And first of all, I've been informed by Leanne that in addition to just figuring out how we are managing our ordinances, we're due for ordinance certification or
codification.
And so that's going to be another $7,500.
Here's where I did have a little conversation with Leanne yesterday. When we had it done almost five years ago, it cost us $7,500. Okay. That was probably the most reasonable. They had some quotes. Some of them were extremely high. So Iowa Codification did it 5 years ago. They do have now where they do have, I looked it up this morning, they have an online version. They can put it on there. It's a searchable database. It also has a component for ADA compliance as far as that. Some cities have it, Nevada, the city of Ankeny. I just glanced at it. I don't think $7,500 will cover that, but they're not doing, I mean, if we use them, they've already done it. It's an update, so adding our new ones. So I would say the $60,000, honestly, would probably be enough for everything. I don't know what negotiations are going to hold this fall. That was a number we put in there. I don't think there's going to be a lot of ACA contract work that we're going to have to do, hopefully. I don't know what those changes are going to be yet. So I would think that $60,000 is a really good place to do for our contract line item for both negotiations, codification, everything that we need to do this fiscal year.
And I would suggest that, so I think codification, so I've asked that Deb and Leanne and Morris go to work on how we're going to maintain our ordinances in the future. Right now, it feels, so we went through this codification. How long ago? 4 years ago?
Almost 5.
5 years ago. And it was great. It was necessary. But then it's been a little disjointed at how we maintain those. So we need a process, a good solid process for how we're going to maintain those. Second thing I would suggest is that we go ahead and we get started, not finished, not complete the codification, but we get started on it in this fiscal year, late this spring, utilize some of the dollars that it looks like we're going to have available in contract labor this year to get some of it done. And then we should be really solid with just $60,000 in for next year.
Absolutely. Yeah, we budgeted $20,000 for this year. We've used $3,000. I don't know anything on the horizon that it looks like we're going to have to use anything. I did take that down to $15,000 for this year just to reestimate. But
so I would ask that you guys that are looking at this go ahead and get to work sooner rather than later, and let's look at doing as much as we can get in this
right. And what they did with us last time is we had to pay an initial fee. It was in 3 payments, so it's $2,500. You know, certain percent at first you have to give a portion. Then when that certain percentage of work is done, and then
Leanne and I had a
special
that she brought me actually.
Good. So that will come to us. If you guys do your work, that will come to us on a Tuesday morning.
Correct.
As you guys get through.
Well, just for clarification, when we had the company do the codification, they were doing a lot of catching up.
Mm-hmm.
Right.
It was 10 years.
Yeah.
Or 8 years.
Every 5 years.
It's supposed to be every 5 years, and then 8 to 9 years before we've done it. So there was a lot of catching up.
So they had a lot of changes. And
by the time this task force, the vaccines will be on it too, and actually I'm going to send out an email to all department heads and elected officials and just say, hey, is there anybody in your department who's keeping these right now? So let's figure out so we can develop that standard operating procedure. So we're good here. Okay, so next,
where are we? Still on contract labor?
Still on contract labor.
Okay.
I'm assuming that a consultant, or if we started a master transportation plan sometime in fiscal year 18, I'm assuming that that would be in this line.
Actually, I put it in countywide.
Thank you very much.
And now it's in countywide.
Never mind. Thank you.
Anything else on contract labor? Marty, anything on contract labor?
Oh, we have large anesthetists. Is that where this would go?
No, but that's in this FY.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, but we're hoping and thinking the RFP is asking for it to get done yet this spring, and then if we got to carry it over, we'll carry it over. Right?
Is that on the board?
I think that's that countywide is where we talked about doing that. Yeah.
That seems to be.
Yep. Okay. Anything else on contract labor? Okay. So then that takes us to anything on dues and memberships?
Yes.
Okay. Go.
All right. I noticed that we launch an innovative chamber, we launch an AIMS chamber, but I don't show that we want the story city, greater chamber alliance. Plus, we don't belong to the Ballard Business Association, which is the equivalent of what they have for a quasi chamber. So, I just would like to make sure that we. I know I don't have the dollar amounts on it, but I think they're pretty low for memberships. Yeah. But I think we should be supporting all of the chamber type organizations.
I completely agree. So how about if we add another 170, 130, and make that an even $600?
Sounds good.
For those. Yes. Then we want to be members of all of those. Absolutely. Anything else? So now we're to office equipment and furniture. I'm suggesting that we get new chairs for up here. I think I made this suggestion. Didn't make the suggestion for iPads, but I made the suggestion for new chairs up here. Made the suggestion a year or two ago, and we didn't do it then. These are getting really, really squishy. I mean, they're beat up. And so I would suggest that we plug in, and I don't know if it's $150 per chair we need to be plugging in or what it is.
These are more. It depends on where you get them from.
Okay. I want to get them the cheapest. I mean, we don't need them tomorrow. I'd want to get them from the cheapest place we can get them from. So I want to replace these. I want Loris to get a chair that she likes for her office because I don't think the one she has now is working for her all that well. And I want to put in the $1,000 for the camera and communication stuff.
I think
just $2,500 gets us about there as long as we're understanding what we think we're going to buy.
Now, can you wait until next July for a chair for your office?
Yeah, I can bring one from home.
Because we might have you know what?
You got enough money to get one for Loris.
You don't have any budgeted in there, but we're not going to use all our contract line items. So, I don't want you to have to wait months to get a chair.
All right, so we don't need to put it. Let's plug $2,500 into office and equipment. Let's go ahead and get Loris a chair sooner rather than later. We can limp by with these chairs. Everybody good there?
Good.
And my question then is, this is the appropriate place then for also to talk about the Adobe or some kind of software, actual suite. Does it go in this line or does it go somewhere else? Okay, so we have it in IT.
Well, IT's got money.
We'll
let IT know that they're buying us.
What
how much is this suite costing us?
Well, actually, I looked at it. It's going to cost us probably $70 and $80 a month. It doesn't come for downloadable discs anymore. It's a cloud. And Barb has already said she is okay with a cloud application as cloud storage.
We'll go ahead and get that.
All right.
Anything else on this portion of the budget?
Yeah.
Okay, we're to general betterment. Markley, anything else before we go to general betterment? Are you good? All right. First one on general betterment is the sheriff clearing account for motor vehicles. That's part of the seven. How many vehicles is that? That's part of the seven. Okay. Those are the marked squad cars. I'm suggesting we buy those out of rural instead of general betterment. Isn't that where we shifted it before?
This is Rural County, General County Betterment,
And we have not bought these out of local option sales tax. Where have we bought them out of the last couple of years?
In
16,
we bought them out of
here. Yeah.
In 17, we did not.
Where did we buy them from in
17?
Yeah.
All the general fund.
And that's what I'm suggesting we do again this year. We do it in the general fund. I don't want that. Well, when we talk about it, that's what I'm suggesting. It looks like we're upside down here.
It's because you're going to run a negative loss balance.
Yeah.
And
we've got a couple of additions that I'm going to suggest we make, which would make that negative balance go up even higher. All right, so let's circle that one. We'll come back to that. Asset, I think, is what it is. Do they have anything to add there?
$8,000 on the room fund, isn't there?
$17,000
for fiscal year 18. Okay, so we need to add
$1,000
there.
Okay. Which line? Split up among all the lines.
Not the way Deb tells me to when I get the final number.
We're at 1,000 there. Now where we talk about adding 7,500 to soil and conservation. Marty, thoughts?
Well, I think that you and Laura's pretty much laid it out there that the fact that this is a bit of an awkward thing and you have some discomfort on a going forward basis because on a relationship basis it does seem circuitous. How they approach it, Lars, I think you spoke very well, and that kind of cleared it up in my mind. I guess I hope they got that, in the sense that, I think them coming to us, as they did, kind of changed the order of things that I would like to see.
The board talked 2 years ago about the possibility of increasing what we were doing with soil and water. I think we talked more along the lines of then of going to $10,000, up from $7,500 to $10,000. We'd gone from $5,000 to $7,500 a few years ago. We talked about going from $7,500 to $10,000. So this would be another full 2 steps up to get all the way there. I think that it is finding us closer in that relationship with everything that we know is happening with soil and water conservation and how that is probably going to impact counties. I think we're ahead of the game by doubling our contribution and counting our commissioners to use it wisely.
Well, that's what we're moving towards, and as you do reconfigures on your watersheds here in the county, I guess it's a seed money to that end.
Yeah, I agree. Well spent, and it means where we're spending other money.
I mean, it's a down payment to a vision. So I have comfort in it. I just how it came to be is, I guess, is where I'm a little uneasy.
Okay.
They don't come here. Come here. For them. Okay.
It was funny. In the last few years, it feels like Mark Cumlin had come right after we had set the budget and asked us to do an increase. And every year we said, well, you need to talk to us during the budget. Well, thanks for getting him here today. Absolutely.
This is where you need to come.
Just under the water.
Sanitary disposal, we need to talk about that.
No, as far as I know, that's the same.
It is what it is.
Yes, City of Ames has not changed that rate as far as that's part of that.
Okay.
I had a question about county tourism, jumping back up.
Yep.
We pay that to the Ames Commission this year, correct?
You're actually down the line. But go ahead. Yeah.
Well, because I'm not on the right page then. I'm on 35.
Yep.
Some reasons are rather than 34 with it.
And I go back and forth. Absolutely.
I go back and forth. That $6,000 for county tourism, you'll notice it's usually $4,700 spent. $700 of it is the Greater Iowa, there's Alliance.
Right.
We pay it every year for that. And then $4,000 is for Iowa Games.
Why do we fund the Iowa Games when we don't fund a lot of other special events?
Iowa Games is special events and other special events.
Well, we don't give any money to special Olympics.
Yeah, we did. Out of this line item, when they requested it, we did do it, or out of the mental health and or community life program.
Okay,
somewhere.
So we have that in our pension funds. special recreation through the park, which is tied to special.
Okay, so they are giving them.
Yeah.
All right.
Yeah.
So other groups that might come here, say like the Meet Baseball League. I mean,
they prevented us.
Did you give money?
I don't know. We haven't given those. There have been no
buttons
spread on that.
So they didn't. That was requested to us through the ACBB. So maybe some of the dollars, I don't know how that worked. But I remember we got a presentation on that. The answer would be it would be up to the board to make that determination when they request it. Yep. Okay.
I think we should be there. All right. I mean, everybody needs to know they can make a request. Okay.
Everybody can make a request. Not every. You've got to draw a line somewhere.
Well, no, I agree with that.
Absolutely. We'll debate it when one comes before us. We know what we're doing here. Sounds like 4,700 is pretty typical. We're budgeting 6,000, which gives us a little bit of room if somebody else makes a request. So now I'll back up two lines. If you're on page 34, sanitary disposal, we didn't have any questions there. That is what it is. Economic development, $110,000. That's our contract with the ADC.
No, that's not.
What is that?
It is our $75,000
for
the group, economic development group.
When did it go to 100? I thought it was 100,000. When did that go to 110,000?
Because if you look on the page 35,
yep.
Okay, 10,000 of it is for small community economic development facade.
Oh, so it is 100,000 that we got.
100,000 for the group.
Okay. Got it.
And it's 10,000 for this facade, which is, Leanne talks about it in hers, which I need to ask her on that. You say that in FY17 we're going to spend 20,000 on that?
I'm hearing we're going to get two more applications. So aren't they $25,000 a piece?
So you think we're going to spend $20,000 this year?
Well, the board's still got to determine.
Yeah.
The board's still got to hear a presentation and make some kind of determination on that.
So do you want me to reestimate that to $20,000 this year?
No, we don't have any requests yet.
So we're not going to see another director later.
Cambridge, wasn't it? Didn't we do the building down in Cambridge? We kicked some money into that?
Two others already.
Oh, okay.
Another building you're asking about, and there's a couple of them. When I put this together, I thought they came
to the work. So, this is one of those things that at some point in time, it was deciding to pay for out of the little box of sales tax dollars out of our 40% general kind of benefit.
Right.
This is extremely. There's no code section that says you have to pay for it out of general order.
We could move this if we wanted to.
If you want to move this out of the low budget sales tax dollars, you are more than welcome to as a board.
Good, good. So circle that one and keep it in mind, just like we're keeping the motor vehicles in mind. We talk about county tourism. $300,000 to the libraries. I would like to see us increase that by 2% to $306,000. Thoughts?
That's a rural.
Mandatory, yes. The support is for the rural patrons to use the library.
Right, I've got the. It's a jaw dropper when you go to the farm crew and say that they're paying for the libraries.
Why would? I mean, I use the library. I live in the country. Who's going to pay for my? Who's going to pay the library for my?
I think it is more of a civics lesson to
We're paying for that. Yes, it's out of rural, but we're paying for this out of local option sales taxes. And so I get that it's rural fund, but anybody who's buying anything in Story County is paying for this. Right?
Yes, that's paying the loss.
Correct.
But
where else do you want it to come?
We talked at the very beginning about this. If you look at the codes, the Rural Services Fund, this is the code does require the library's support.
Whatever it is.
Paid out of the rural fund. And we made the decision, way back when in 2000 and whatever, to pay for it out of the local option sales tax portion of that to free up other funds in the rural fund. 2001.
Well, you remember. There you go.
Board historian.
Anybody got heartburn with going up 2%?
No.
No.
Okay.
Anybody want to suggest something different than 2%?
I'm just curious how you ended at 2% as opposed to maybe 3-4.
Because we had gone up 3 and 4 the last few years, and I felt like this was a year to continue to go up, but we didn't need to see as dramatic. I thought we were behind. 3 years ago, Wayne, I felt strongly that we were behind. We hadn't increased it for a few years. We didn't have capacity, and so we went higher those first couple years. And I think 2% is a pretty good standard where we need to be.
Well, we haven't been in rewards for you here.
No.
Did you miss that one? Because no, anyways, I think we were all just gathered here, and we had a presentation where East Town Library spoke to us. And my dim recollection is I didn't see anything on a driving basis that would say, oh yeah, this community needs or this facility needs, really didn't rise up at that point. I think they were happy to celebrate the successes they were having and the fact that they were getting they were bringing things online that didn't merit additional dollars. I guess the fact that we are going up should be, you know, win enough.
Yeah, well, and they changed their funding model a year ago to help our smaller libraries more. So Ames is actually giving stuff up now that they weren't getting in the past. Not a lot of Ames, a couple thousand dollars to Ames, but that couple thousand dollars is a huge impact for our smaller communities.
Okay.
So everybody's good at 306. We'll go to 306. New equipment, that's the motor grader.
Correct.
And we're going to have a conversation. It feels like we're, a year or two away from having a bigger conversation on what we're doing with that lease. And that is all. So now we need to go back.
Okay.
Yep.
General transportation. It says air transportation here, but I just wondered if, you know, we talked about $10,000. I thought about $10,000 just for in case we come up with some kind of little pilot project for the public transportation section of what will be the long term working on. So I didn't know if that went in here. You know, it says air transportation. I didn't see another general transportation line.
Yeah, so what I would suggest is that, so this item didn't exist. This line didn't exist until the board decided to contribute to the airport. And I would suggest we go down the same road with any pilot project that might be coming down the road. If we have one that comes that the board decides it wants to fund, we create its own spot. But we aren't ready to do that at this
point.
Right. Mark,
are you trying to figure that CDC? Well, kind of, yeah. Semi that is my initiative about we're going to look at starting what we can do to start moving residents outside of Maine around the county. So it would be in line with the CDC concept, but would not necessarily be within the parameters.
Dolores, and I mean, you're leaving that as line item, and you gave, 100,000 here, several years ago, the airport?
50,000 for 2 years.
Okay, 100,000. So, with it leaving there, with the expectation by the average citizen to believe that the county might revisit giving additional dollars to the airport at some point?
I hope not.
Well, I'm just saying you're leaving a line item there. And
well, we're leaving it there because it has a
spot.
Just so we can see that we spent money there.
I'm just saying that, you know, when you say, okay, this is a one-time expense with no likelihood of revisit, is it going to go away?
It won't show up in what we publish.
Okay.
No, I mean, it's there merely for the historical purposes.
Okay, well, I just didn't know what mechanism we have, how we did that. If Lawrence is asking to make one, and I'm asking if this is on an ongoing basis, are we going to keep this?
So I've got us as having a negative balance of 27-ish thousand with what we've added before we move in. And I would suggest, so we've got two places that I think we can reasonably consider moving out of here. That is 150 or a portion thereof for motor vehicles, or 110,000 from economic development. I would suggest that we either move all of the sheriff's vehicles. That represents how many vehicles? Four?
No,
some in general and some.
Oh, some. Okay.
Only the park patrol cars.
Okay. So,
Mikey,
actually, the narrative for those is on page 168 of your budget. It's way into the sheriff.
Okay.
So we had two unmarked in the general fund, and we had
five
marked. No, what the hell? Look at that. We've got an unmarked, a marked, an unmarked, an unmarked, and a marked.
So I would suggest we move the two marked at $30,000 apiece out of rural, out of lost, and move them up into the general.
So you did that,
huh? I'm sorry.
I thought we did.
Flip it.
Yeah,
the three unmarked,
you want to
we slide
unmarked.
Up. Yeah. So that would reduce that line item by $90,000. Instead of $150,000, it would make it $60,000. Is the way I calculated, and we would add $90,000 to our general fund. That balances our loss fund.
So we just need $150,000 down to $60,000.
And by the other two unmarked. Or marked.
By the two marked out of this. Leave all the rest of it where it is, which gets us to a positive balance in loss.
Okay.
And it gives a little money sitting there if we have any other projects that are appropriate out here. Okay?
Thank you. And understand that when you look at this budget, especially this county is part of this calculation that I do on this one,
yep,
is a total estimate until we know what we're going to get. For
well, you look at it, we brought in more than we estimated.
FY16, we actually brought in $2.2 million. FY17, I'm saying it's going to be 2.1, which is pretty accurate because of the fact that in August of last FY17. So the year started in July, and August I have verification from the state of Iowa as to what our reconciliation payment was going to be. So that 2.1 is pretty accurate. So we're going to end the year on a positive 76,358.
Right.
Understand that when I budget for next year's how much we're going to bring into loss, I'm doing a 5-year average because I have no idea what we're going to do.
Right, and generally what you put in here, we generally do a little better than that, which is why zero is not really zero.
Right, right.
But we've got to be careful about deficit spending. Everybody good on that portion? Okay, countywide then.
Long before that, we took in those 7 wind turbines here last summer, last fall. How long before we see revenues, TIF revenues on them?
5 years.
Is
it 5 that they start to ramp up? It's 5 years at zero, and then it goes up 5% a year for 7 years. So 35% is where they cap out.
Okay. All right. I know that there was a lag time between taking them in.
Well, but the reason you want to bring them in immediately is then you're capturing all.
You get all this already.
You're
moving it from the base to what they become, and you get all of it.
You're bringing it in as ag ground, and then
and
you start.
You're bringing the base at the lowest value.
Right.
If you're not going to do that, it's pointless that you can bring it in. Or not pointless.
Yeah, it's a lot less lucrative.
Right. Good. Thank you.
Okay. All right, so what do we need to talk about on countywide?
Well, I think if you want, I don't know if there's any revenue discussion we need to have necessarily. We'll talk about, unless there's some questions anybody has on any of the revenues. I try to summarize a lot of that so that it's combined, so it's not so long. So there's a lot of general county that hurt countywide revenues. That's why.
Right.
So I guess my first conversation will go to probably page 41 on the expenses.
Okay.
And the narrative starts on 46.
Okay.
I wanted to make a couple comments as far as a couple of legislative training the sheriff we've done. We talked about some of their special funds and their special things. Those are in countywide.
Right.
They are a few of those classes in countywide. It's a county budgeted fund. They can't go use more than they have in those funds. It's a special law enforcement when it comes to the county train fine collection. So those are in Department 99, but those two departments tell me what they want to spend. The reason, and the sheriff touched on this when he was here, the reason like the vehicles the corridor services, that kind of stuff within the countywide budget is because if it's in the elected officials' budget and they decide not to purchase those things, they don't have to, but they can spend whatever they want. So before my time, the decision was made to put those types of things in countywide services. So that we budgeted them there, we paid for them. Those departments, or that department makes the recommendation. But those things, the court order services especially, are really not in anybody's control. It is what it is. That's just a little FYI to start with some of these discussions. So this is not a good example of the very first line of civil service commission. And it sort of tells me how much we have to budget there.
And we haven't spent it.
And we never spend it, but I budgeted and I re-estimate next year saying this is what I think we're going to spend. Medical examiner is the second line there. What we have is a contract with our medical examiner, appointed medical examiner, who works out of McFarland. He's got a $15,900 contract with the county to be our medical examiner, to do the duties. This is really working well for us because he doesn't do autopsies, quite frankly. Very few does he do. He sends them down to the state.
The expense of his office.
He sends them down to the state if they need autopsies. Everything, every unattended death goes through the county. So the county attorney sends me the documentation saying yes or no, yes, pay this or don't pay this. They don't say don't pay it unless there's extenuating circumstances. So what we're paying for this medical examiner line item is autopsy fees to the state of Iowa, the contract with Mr. Weider, and the code says that if somebody dies in Story County that is a resident of another county, we can bill out of the county. So what happens is we pay it and then we bill the other county if that's the case. Doesn't happen a lot.
Yeah.
Same thing for the other counties. They bill us if something happens. And so that $90,000 that I'm reestimating for this year, I'm looking at a trend. It is what it is. I can't tell people how to die. It's just not going to happen.
Yeah, with an increasing population base, you're going to have an increasing death rate. I would have to say, after having met with Dr. Weider, I had comfort in the fact that when you look at his autopsy rate, which is the cases that his office is handling, versus what he does turn over, either does or turns over to state, I appreciate a low number because the thing is he's not trying to just wash his hands and put it down and feel unthankful. And the fact is he was looking for a bit of an increase for his investigators. I have comfort in the sense that they're doing the actual determination with the sheriff's department or whatever responding agency. And the fact that they are
you see a trend.
And the thing is, I have whether the dollars he's asking for is merited. I think that's open to discussion. But an increase would be probably acceptable in my eyes.
I put that $90,000 in before and about that increase or that request increase.
Right.
I think that he's coming before the board to ask for that, or are we talking about it in the budget work session? What did we tell him?
Oh, we were there that day. What did we tell him?
Okay, so he wants to increase to 125 or 150?
That was 150.
150 per response.
For first, you've got two investigators.
Okay, two investigators.
And he was looking at on a trip charge, basically.
They get paid $100 per investigation, and then mileage. I'm going to say that out of the 38,000 we spent, I'm going to say that we probably it's less than 1,000 for both of them. Through the 1099 form, I think we gave them less than $1,000 each for their services.
So that would go to 1500.
So that would go to 1500. I don't think we need to adjust the line item for that, but I think if you guys are interested in going ahead and having that conversation to increase.
That needs to go on a Tuesday. Yes, I want to have the conversation. You go on a Tuesday morning again.
That would be fine.
Okay.
And we did not start at July 1st or January 1st because, quite frankly, you just renewed their contract, and I think we left them on the $100 and so the board has a chance to make that.
So, Marty, I'd say get that on our agenda as soon as you can.
Okay.
Yep. Done.
I just want to make note, if you remember yesterday during the Tuesday meeting, I noted that there was couldn't identify a $3,900 expense in the claim. It was in the contract. It was a quarterly contract. It's identified as a stipend / clerical, but it's actually the main stipend.
There you go. Good. Thanks for digging into that. Okay, what else do we need to talk about here?
I haven't got the Emergency Management Agency budget yet. This is the number that I put in their original budget when they had me close it.
Yeah,
so
that's what
that was approved.
Yep. And the primary there is $16,000 increase preparing to buy new radio equipment.
2001-402 is a direct request from them. We paid for that out of supplemental funding. Right.
Okay, other questions?
Other questions? I'm going to just go down until somebody says, hey, I want to.
Yeah, Laura?
Where are you at?
So that was emergency management on 41. Now we're going down from there. Stop us when we need to stop.
Well, I don't have questions. I'll ask her.
Okay, let's talk asset.
Okay, just the amount in here is $654,000.
I just noticed that. What did I do?
Yeah, it should be $1 million something. Well,
no.
Oh, it should be. What did we end up approving?
Well, it comes from multiple places, and this is the part of asset that comes out of general basic.
Right.
This is the part that comes out of general basic.
Got it.
The $1 million includes local option and coming out everything.
Thank you. Right. Yeah.
Does not include mental health. That's 1.5 almost.
Yeah.
But so you're just seeing multiple places.
The 684 is what FY17. Yeah, 684 looks to be the correct amount for FY17. I would have carried that forward to that FY18, but I did a typo with 654. So I don't know what that amount is that the news is going
to be. Okay, that is 6.25% increase.
What?
I'm sorry, 6.25.
Yeah, 6.25%
increase. 684, 695.
See, where are you getting 684?
Because from the narrative, I got it right.
It should be.
So you were wrong on the amended original for FY17? I think you were wrong on the narrative, not on the.
You think?
Yeah, I do. I think it's 654 plus 6.25% is where I think you're wrong.
That's fine. I'd rather be wrong on the narrative. So that is.
That
if that's
the
case,
$695,000,
does that
sound
right? That's what we're using.
It was just
over $700,000.
Right. I thought
$700
is where we went.
Well, it says $84,000.
Yes. That's not good.
All right, Deb's going to get this exact number, and we're going to plug it in, whatever it is.
I'm still working on that spreadsheet for the
money. Okay, next.
And I think the next one.
Can we go back to passage just quickly? So we heard the presentation from Hemingway about the clearing tax scorecard process, and that's just getting off the ground come July 1st. With United Way and a lot of the organizations that go through the asset process, we'll need to decide if the county is going to be a participant in that, and if so, then we have some licenses that we would have to purchase in order to gain access to the clearing tax scorecard software. And Jane had said at the joint funders meeting last Thursday that that's again being a reduced price of around $250 per license. So, my dad is a Tuesday morning.
I want that as a Tuesday morning.
Okay. Yep. We can talk about that as well. But I would anticipate most of the agencies already have those places, but if I want to access the core card, I would say, yes, yeah, if we have money and board members too. So that's just a.
Okay. And $250 a piece will find those dollars once United Way makes the presentation. Okay.
The public health emergency preparedness is a contract with IEPH and Mary Greeley. We're totally a pass-through, so there's a matching revenue on the other side.
Right.
The home board amount, Deb's going to give me that, whatever that is.
in is 32. Mm-hmm. Go down.
Yep.
The IDP Community Service Grant, that is healthy aging. What is it? Those three components of that, local, public health, healthy aging. Another pass through Mary Greeley. Homework, both of those.
Okay.
Lead poisoning grant is no more. The GRIP mentoring grant has $2. That is the Burn JAG grant, and it goes down. It was $15.5 this year, and I'm assuming that's what it will be next year. We'll see when they come to you on that.
They've been late with that before, too, haven't they?
Yeah.
All right, garbage service.
Garbage service, that is going to be your Go Green stuff as far as.
And if we're talking about garbage, let's do it this year.
Okay.
If you guys decide you want.
Now, I have the answers about the entire program. We will bring that to a future meeting.
Yep.
So, but you go ahead and increase this year by $400. FY17.
Re-estimated, that'll be an estimate of an increase going to $1,000, but that'll be based on a presentation that comes to us. Okay?
Quite frankly, we'll probably be able to handle it, that's a true view for the year right there.
Exactly. Let's see, economic development, that is the contract. I'm finally right on that, right?
Economic development, that is the AEDC contract, half of it. Okay, so if you look at the page 47 narrative,
yep.
In that AE25, there is $30,000 asking for workforce development with the AEDC.
Okay.
$10,000 for relocation grants.
Okay.
If you, I gave you all this little handout of Leanne, correct?
Yep.
I would have given it to you before the very first session because I thought that's when we were going to have this discussion.
Yep.
And then the amount contracted is for small communities for economic development. $85,000 is the total of that contract.
Okay.
We put $42,500 in this line item and $42,500 in the next line item down.
Okay.
Okay. So I have
yep.
a question. And I'm sorry, I don't find that teaching.
Oh, here, I have another one. Okay.
So, the real grants are due because our contract had been $115,000.
And, that is Homeward, as home as Iowa?
Oh, this is, okay. Right, now I realize.
Okay.
So, this is actually home based Iowa. And so, that is. That's where the extra $10,000 came from. And the previous board went ahead and added the $5,000 direct to the workforce development contract. It used to be 25.
Yeah, when did we add that? It was 25 the first year. When did that go to 30? Okay. Just this year?
I don't know. The information that was submitted was 30.
Well, it's not just this year. I mean, so 30. So we increased it to 30. We did 25 the first year and then 30 the second year. Do you think it started at 30?
It did.
Okay.
Okay.
No, it's 30.
I was trying to track the history.
Right.
Okay.
But you are talking about increasing home base Iowa from 5,000 to 10,000. That's the relocation.
So if you go back into the narrative, on page 47, the top of the page.
Yep.
Okay. It shows that the home base contract last year was actually $25,000.
There's nothing. In the FY18 year, there's nothing there.
All I understand is asking about
the
historically.
Okay.
Okay. I'm just running the history here.
Okay.
So in fiscal year 17, it showed at $25,000 for a home-based Iowa contract.
Yeah, so it looks to me like we're transposing numbers here. The 25 was home-based Iowa and workforce development.
the 30. Now we're looking at 30 for workforce development.
So it is an increase.
I remember 25 for workforce development.
Yes, my question.
Yeah, so we need to circle that one and figure out where we are on the workforce development, what our contract actually says. I think our contract says 25. Yeah, so let's look at that one. I don't understand going to 10,000 in home-based Iowa when we've got 5,000 plugged in this year and we haven't spent any of it. Why would we go to 10? Okay, so I'm going to suggest we go to 5,000 there for FY18 because we haven't spent it. I mean, we're going to spend what we spend.
Yeah.
We're going to check on the 30,000, which I tend to think is 25,000, but we'll check on it and see where we are. What other questions do we have there?
None. Oh, oh, the next one, Adam, the narrative on 47 also, go down to the next line for economic development. She was talking about the other half of the contract, and funding for small communities, 33% of 50% of CHIPS. And I want to clarify here that what we're really talking about is that's the current board calculation to determine the maximum of what we would give in those projects that are going to be presented to us, like the application is in April, correct? People get the major ones to the small community.
Okay.
Is that correct, ma'am?
That's what the 33% of the 50%.
And the 50% of TIF, is that based, does that reference what the county is taking from total TIF collections? Or is it 50% of the $1 billion roughly we're getting on the chip now? Is it 50% of 50%? Because if you do the math about what we've handed out so far,
it's a third of the $1 million.
The third, even though we haven't got, okay, I got you.
Right?
I'm so now clear of this.
So, what we just do on that is that at the time that the board decided to just take the 50%,
right,
instead of the remaining 50% just going willy-nilly into the general fund and making it spend without some sort of purpose, the board asked that we set aside some dollars, 32%, for that and for CIT, for small community funding and for CIT. So that is basically a hand check by Lisa in the Excel spreadsheet.
Right.
Okay. And that's, I wanted to clarify that was in fact what it is. And that's subject to when we have our discussion in April.
Board policy. Yeah. Is board policy.
Change board policy.
Board change, board policy, whatever the board changes.
Okay, because I've noticed that the something that Leanne just forwarded to us noted that the policy, the board seems to change or review the policy every late April to early May, and then it had just become effective January 1. So small changes to the same policy, but we can change it at any time. So when we have
Let's see, urban renewal projects just shows what we approved, which falls into the FY18 budget year because it actually happens in December, right? Or it's
We certify to the auditor
in December, but then it kicks in when we collect those taxes. So those are we're always a year behind when we approve those projects when it's happening.
Those are the approved projects.
Correct. Historical societies, I'd like us to bump that from 30 to 31,000. The fair, I'd like us to bump it from 50 to 52,000. Discussion.
I was going to say that they done Cambridge moving down and moved to all these historical societies that they all came as a collective. I felt like a young man. Some people are carrying the weight on this issue in the county are not exactly.
We're glad to be here. Same thing for you.
No, but they do have a genuine, we will lose our areas and our history if we don't encourage these people to continue doing what they're doing, refresh their ranks. It's worthy. Yeah. That's easy. Fair board is fair board.
Okay. Morris?
Oh, I'm fine.
Chris, all right. So I like both of those. Then, and I'm sorry, but I've got to go here in just a minute. So then I kind of skip down. I'm going to talk about anything you guys want to, but I think our litigation and settlements line item is high just based on history. We've got 40,000 plugged in there, and we, you know, the three-year average is 21,246. We're re-estimating this year at 20,000, but I don't think we're actually going to get there. I just think 40,000 is high. As it, we're going to pay what we got to pay.
And we typically let that would be four deductible.
Yeah. So I'm suggesting we take that down to, let's take it down to three deductibles, because we haven't ever spent that. Or we have to spend it recently.
FY14
spent
38,000, I think that was last year.
Yeah. Yeah, so let's go to 30. Yeah, let's just go to 30 with that one is my suggestion, down from 40. And then repairs to the animal control, I assume that's animal control, of 153. Is that what the ACO building is? I don't know what that is. I don't think we know what that is yet. So that becomes a placeholder.
Well,
this is the difference between the 225 and the amount that she says she would be willing to pay. So this is the balance. Okay, so the general federal transfer to capital projects, that's the paper that. Right, but we got to have that full conversation. Once we get a plan, and what Sue says she wants to transfer out of Friends and Animals may be different than what we really transfer out of Friends and Animals.
And that's what I'm telling you.
And so all I'm saying is 153, it's a placeholder. Let's just make it even 150, because we don't know what it's going to be. 150,000 there is what I'm suggesting. And that was all the questions I have, except, and I'm not asking us to do this today, but I would like to request that we consider a program on a Tuesday morning sometime, and it would be Leanne who would be putting this program together, and it would be something for our townships similar to what we did in professional support for our smallest towns, where we say to our 16 townships, if you want to put together some kind of strategic plan or operational documents or anything like that, the county would be ready to assist you with contracting for those services. I want to say it was $3,000 that we offered each of our cities, so I'm suggesting $3,000 to our townships, so that'd be a $48,000 line item. If, in fact, we add it, again, I'm not suggesting we add it in the budget right now. I'm suggesting that it comes to us for conversation on Tuesday morning, but I want you guys to be aware of it as we look at all this stuff.
I did have a couple of questions about where if we add an expenses.
Okay.
So, first of all, the money for the Story County Housing Trust Fund, if they do, the Senate formal letter that we're going to talk about on Tuesday morning, all right, where would that money come from?
Maybe County what?
Okay.
Yep.
Countywide there. All right. The direct system pull.
I don't know what that is.
Yeah. The panic button.
That's what I'm hoping is going to come next, is a request for FY17 to be used for those.
And the
spreader as well, but that's FY17, so that doesn't impact us here.
Okay. All right.
Where
would that come out of general
countywide? Where can we go on the county? It would have to come out of countywide.
All right.
So we did that 2 years ago, and it was a countywide, but we did it out of existing funds for that fiscal year. We didn't budget it for the next fiscal year.
All right.
And
the first request looks like it is now. It's out of gift.
Is what they want. Well, they're saying 18, but they want to go ahead and get it now. Is what I think. We just need to get them here. We need to get them here to present, and
okay,
then that'll tell us where we're looking at that.
Okay.
I was assuming we would try to find it out of 17 if we were going to do it.
Yeah, I have that meeting.
Okay. Sorry. Markley, I got 2 minutes. What else do we have?
Well, I was going to talk about the countywide mass transportation plan, $160,000.
Okay, tell me about that.
It's on American on page 48, and then all the documentation is on the site plan.
I can tell you that the 10,000 of that is actually what I talked about, if it would come kind of housing trust. We just put them together for the 150,000. So we've actually talked about both of these, but they had a master transportation plan itself would be at 150,000. If we got decided, A, we needed it to that extent to do a whole plan. Darren's initial assessment is that by the time we get through the various plans that exist through like the Ames area or, and through the central Iowa, that we've been just doing, we may have a full transportation plan separately. But he doesn't know we're far off from it. So with that 150,000, we can't really get that close.
Yes. And I don't think we have enough information yet to put it in our budget for next year.
I don't think we'll be ready.
Yeah. So let's take